I'm starting a new series. You know, we've just gone through the whole book of Romans. So if you ever want some in-depth study of Romans, just listen to the last 16 weeks. Anyone, and you will get some in-depth knowledge of Romans. But we started, we met together, the leadership team, and we decided that we wanted to talk about God and how he works in our lives. As simple as that, we wanted to bring it right down to basics on how God actually moves and works in our lives. So tonight, I'm sort of introducing a new series to you, and we're going to be over the next 6 weeks looking at Joseph and his life and how God worked in his life and how we can apply that to our lives. So I'm going to start off by reading a scripture to bring up, to sort of kick off this whole series. And it's from Ecclesiastes 3. Here we go. Sorry, it's not that big, but Ecclesiastes 3 and the first 8 verses. So if you have a Bible, feel free to open it or look at the screen if you can make it out a bit. So it says, to everything, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So I'm going to pray again if that's okay. So Lord, we just come to you with this message and we ask you to speak to us, Lord. Draw us close to you and open our hearts to hear what it is that you want us to hear tonight. And we give you alone all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a while ago, I was standing in worship at the back and the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, Heather, you're about to go through quite a difficult time in your life. And I want you to talk about it. And I had stepped down from the preaching team and I had avoided preaching for at least 6 months. I was like, oh, okay, Lord. So I'm quite a private person, so I don't really try and share personal things, but tonight I am sharing a personal message. So if I do get emotional in any way, just bear with me. But I'm going to start off with a story. There was a man and his name was Bert Edwards. He was born in August 1932 in Stockport. And as he grew up, he became a speedway champion. And he did really well, and he fell down and had an accident. And after that accident, he realized that he wanted to change his life. He no longer wanted to do what he was doing, so he packed up all his bags, and he moved to South Africa. And in South Africa, he met a lady who had 3 children, and he married her. And the oldest of his 3 stepchildren came to him one day and said, Dad, I've been going to this weird church, this really big church that I decided to go to one day. Would you come with me? And he wasn't really interested in church, but he decided to give it a try. And he walked into this church, and it had a huge tent, and there were people worshiping and praising God, and he thought, oh my word, what is this? But when the pastor came at the end of the service, he said, who would like to give their lives to Jesus? And his hand shot up. And he said he didn't even realize why he put his hand up. But from that moment onwards, his life changed. And he started serving God in any possible way. He served God in the orphanages. He served God in the children's ministry with the elderly, the disabled. He even sang in the choir. Every single Sunday, for the rest of his life, he was found in church. Every single Sunday. When he was 85 years old, he moved over back to the UK because he knew he was dying. And he came back to the UK. And a year later, he passed away. Now, if anyone were to ask you, what was this man about? Most people would describe him as very quiet, very content. Never said a word. No one even knew how much he served except his family because he did it in the background. Okay, so this person was actually my grandpa. And 2 weeks ago, he passed on to glory. And it came up quite unexpectedly, and we saw him go through a lot of pain. And during the days when I could see he was dying and in a lot of pain, my prayer to God was, Lord, please take the pain away and don't let him die alone. That was my two prayers. I didn't ask for God to heal him or do a miraculous work. All I said was just take the pain away and please don't let him die alone. And so for about 2 weeks, I was at the hospital almost every day, visiting him, sitting with him, sometimes till 10:30 at night, reading Psalms, playing worship. And one night I couldn't make it because I had friends over. And he passed away completely alone with not one family member there. And I was so angry with the Lord. I was so, so angry. I was like, Lord, I didn't ask you to heal him. I didn't ask you to do something great. I just asked that I'd be there, and you didn't answer my prayer. So I was really angry about this. So I want you to remember that story, and I'm going to park that for a moment because this is where this message has come out of my heart. So if I were to ask you by a show of hands, who here believes that God loves you? Okay. Who believes that he wants the best for you in all situations? Okay. My last question is, but who has gone through something that they don't understand? And I'll put my hand up straight away. Where you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and God did not answer you. Where someone was mistreating you and you begged God to take them out of your life and he didn't. Now, I wish I had the answers for you, but I don't. I don't have the answers of why God, you know, sometimes does things and doesn't do things, but I have learned something about his character in the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to read a scripture that's become quite real to me. It's from Isaiah 55, verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Man, what does that mean? Your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And as I send water to the earth and it doesn't come back to me, so the words I speak to you don't come back to me. What does this mean? So I was praying about it, and I was like, Lord, how do I share this? And he gave me an illustration yesterday when I was praying, and it really just put my whole thought pattern into perspective. And he said to me that, and read, if you want to read it in Jeremiah 18, if you want to read it at home. But he said to me, this is your life. This is how you start off in your life. It's just a piece of hard clay that doesn't have much about you. Give your heart to Jesus, and that's what you are. And what I start doing is I start beating the clay, and I start rubbing the clay and making it soft. And then I put it on a spinning wheel that molds this clay. Now, that spinning wheel is your life. And he puts it on the spinning wheel like that. And he's the one who's the potter, who is forming you into something. And he said, this is your life. So it takes a long time. You put the clay on, and it spins and spins and spins, and it's quite hard, and it looks a bit disgusting as well and dirty. But it's starting to take shape. And sometimes he'll take pieces of the clay and throw it away, or he'll add more clay to it based on what he wants to create in you. But then he takes the pot and he throws in a fire, the potter. And the fire is intense heat and it's boiling hot. And imagine if you were the vase. You'd be like, what are you doing to me? You're burning me, you're burning me. But the potter can see what's going to happen. He's going to see what he's got in mind. And he lets the clay burn and gets hard and solid and strong. And he takes it out the fire and he rubs it down. He paints it. He glosses it over, and it looks amazing. And if you think about it, when it started off, it was like this. And he turned it into something great. And God said to me, that is what your life is like. He doesn't see necessarily the place you're in now. He sees where you're going to be and the process you have to go through to get there. And imagine if the clay said, stop, stop, stop right now. Don't do any more. It would never have become that. It would have never become what. See, one life be smooth. I can't promise you right now that you will be happy every day. Life is hard. Ask any person in this room, and I'll tell you now, we have all gone through something uncomfortable or painful or hurtful. You see, the difference is, as Christians, we hide our pain. We hide what we're going through a lot of the time, but God sees it. He can see your pain and he can see your hurt. He knows what you are going through. And you know what I believe he is saying to you today? Is hold on, don't let go, don't give up, because I'm shaping you into something that is beautiful, something that is fit for purpose, something that he can use for his glory. When you look at people in the Bible, any single man or woman in the Bible who was surrendered to God had to go through something in their lives. Like David, he had to face Goliath. He had to be betrayed by his brothers. He had to, mocked by his brothers. His son died. His oldest son came against him. I mean, went through so much in his life. Daniel didn't see the deliverance of God until he was actually thrown into the lion's den. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they did not see the deliverance of God until they were in the fire. Only when they were in the fire did God deliver them. You know, Paul was thrown into prison. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. But God delivered him. At the end of his life, he said, I am content with God, everything God has given me. How can a person say that when he's lost so much? You know, Ruth lost her family, then her husband. Then she fell into poverty as well. And only when she was at her lowest point in her poverty, where she was almost like begging, she was gleaning on the fields, did God bring someone into her life who brought her deliverance. So what does God want from us? When we're going through this season, does he just want us to walk around and say, oh brother, I'm full of faith, everything's gonna be fine? No. I've got a scripture here. It says, we all know this Psalm 23, we learn it from when we're kids. But it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And what God said to me in this verse was, even though I walk, it doesn't say even though I stop in the middle of the valley and make camp and wait there. It says even though I walk through the valley. You know, the valley could be dark and you can't see anything, but God wants you to keep walking. And what does it mean as a Christian to keep walking? It means keep coming to church, keep praying, keep being with Christians, because if something goes wrong in our lives, the first thing we want to do is run. The first thing the devil wants us to do is to stop being around other Christians. You know, one of the ladies I know, she always said to me, Heather, your life is like a coal. And as long as you're in the fire, your coal will keep on burning. But the moment you remove yourself from the fire, your coal will go cold. You know, now I'll tell you now, anyone who's going through something, you don't want to be in church. You don't want to pray. So going back to my story, so I was angry with God because he hadn't answered my prayer. And I was sharing this with my mom the next day, and I was like, Mom, how am I ever going to pray again and believe God will answer me when he didn't even answer this prayer, and it wasn't even a big prayer in my eyes? And she said these words to me. She said, Heather, if God never answered another prayer in your entire life, the fact that he died for you is enough for you to serve him wholeheartedly with all your life. And I was like, oh, Mom, you're speaking so much truth. And I was like, oh, great. But you see, when I thought about it, I'd forgotten what God had actually done, because he brought my grandpa to this country when he didn't have to. And I got to spend at least once every week for the last year with him. And not only that, but when he died, he had absolutely no pain at all. So God had answered at least half my prayers. Why he didn't answer the other one, why I had to go through that pain, I don't know. But you know what? At least my grandpa's in heaven rejoicing as well. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to keep walking. He wants us to keep loving him. There's one more thing that I found that God wants us to do, which is something I'm struggling with, but I'm working on it, is he wants us to trust him. Oh, to trust him is one of the hardest things a human can do. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. So what does he want? He wants us, in this scripture alone, just these literally seven verses, it says, trust in the Lord, do good. Commit your way to the Lord. Take delight in the Lord. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. But you see, how can I do that when I'm in the middle of a valley, I cannot see my deliverance, and all I'm seeing is these problems hit me, hit me, hit me all the time? And I'll give you an example. About 2.5 years ago, I started a new job. And 2 months into the job, I realized I'd made what I thought was a mistake. And I was like, oh, I hate this job. And the people I worked with were very difficult and gossipy. And I was like, I want to move. And so I started praying and I said, Lord, I want to move jobs. I'm very unhappy. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I have a plan for you in that place. I want you to wait. And I was like, oh, Lord. You know, he always tests you with something that you don't want to do. That's how you know if you're obeying the Lord. So I waited to the year and I lost patience. And I started applying for the jobs left, right, and center. Any job that was available, from working for Chester Zoo to applying to Tesco, everywhere I applied for a whole year. And I did not get one interview. And I was like, Lord, this is crazy. You know, my CV can't be that bad. You know, and I gave up. I was like, that's it. I'm not applying for any more jobs. I'd lost all my confidence. And a couple of weeks ago, someone came to me and I was chatting to them about, you know, what I would like to do one day. And she said, oh, I'm looking for someone just like you. I wanted to become an accountant. So she said, oh, I'm looking for a trainee accountant. Do you want the job? And I was like, well, yeah. So straight away, within 1 second, I got a new job. I didn't even have to try. I didn't even have to send her my CV. I didn't even have to fill in an application form. And I got a new job just like that. But you see, why did I have to wait 2.5 years? And I found the answer last week. My boss came to me and he said to me, you know what, Heather? I just want you to know that for the last 2.5 years, I have been so blessed that you have worked here as a Christian. He said, because of you, I've been able to carry on, and you have been one of the biggest encouragements in my life. Did I see that when I was working there? Did I see what impact I was making? No, I just seen, oh my word, I hate this. This is such a bad job. You see, that's what trusting God is about. And I repented because a year later, I stopped trusting God. I was like, Lord, this can't be your will. And I had applied for jobs. See, if you are in a difficult situation at work or with your friends at school, with your family, if you're not feeling well or if death is knocking on your door, remember that God knows. He said to us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And although you can't see what he's molding you into right now, he knows what you're going to become. So just hang in there. Don't give up. I can't answer any questions of why we go through things, but I do know one thing for sure is that God loves you. And he knows your life, whether you feel like he's there or not. He knows, because I've seen him do it in my life, where for 2 years I saw nothing. And then all of a sudden I saw back now and say, oh my word, he was molding me into that potter or whatever. You know, he molded me into something that he wanted, not what I wanted. Had I got another job, maybe I wouldn't have been molded into some sort of character trait that he wanted. So I encourage you to hang in there. I'm going to read another scripture, which I actually want to end off with, is the scripture. Which is, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Romans 8:28 is probably one of the most famous Christian scriptures that we learn. But in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And all he wants us to do is love him. Just love him. I'm actually going to call the band up. And I'm going to end there. And I just encourage you to think about the seasons of life that you've gone through, the seasons of life that you've been struggling through, and try and see the goodness of God that have been in those seasons. I know it's hard sometimes, it's hard to see where he's been good, but I'll tell you now, he has been good somewhere.